The following program is a paid commercial announcement. The sponsor is responsible for its content, which Talk Radio 790 KBC does not necessarily endorse or support. It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
A good afternoon, Los Angeles. I am Alan Gervie, and I am the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, I'm here to be the managing partner of your life. And I am here, of course, with Carrie Kasem, my co-host, who looks all wet today. What's up, Carrie?
I did the ice bucket challenge.
No way.
Yes, I was nominated by a bunch of people on Twitter and Facebook, and then my sister finally called me out. Her and her kids did it. She did it. So I went over there, and I did it. And then something happened that I wasn't expecting because I was coming here to the studio.
Yeah.
And you can see me literally fighting this and screaming, and I'm going to post it to Gervie's Law. So if any of you want to see the nasty trick that my family pulled on me, go to Gervie's Law. I'm having trouble uploading it right now.
Okay, so well, you better upload that because I want to see you with ice all over your pretty face, and I want to see you all wet for such a great cause.
I saw you do it, too.
I did.
And your son's staring at you, and I think he's scared.
Like, what are you doing? Very scared. I have a 20-month-old son, and he watched me do the ice bucket challenge for ALS, and his eyes grew big as the bucket went over my head. And I'm going to post that on Gervie's Law Facebook
page, too. Can I say what happened, though,
yes,
to you? Okay. Most people have a bucket, like a bunch of people are holding the bucket or one person's holding the bucket. They put it over you, right? And then somebody picks you up, throws you in a pool. You see this over and over. Well, Alan dumps the bucket on himself and throws himself into a pool.
I did.
Yeah.
I went into the jacuzzi, actually, because it was about 102 degrees, and the ice bucket was like 30 below zero Celsius.
It was very funny.
It was funny.
Your kid's like, Daddy, what's wrong?
My kid thinks I am just a kook. He had no idea, but I was doing it for a good cause, and of course, I made my donation to ALS because we want to really help a lot of people. It's a horrible, horrible disease. And while people are putting buckets over their head, we don't want people kicking the bucket.
That's right, Alan. Good. Good. But here's another thing. I've heard people saying, oh, it's getting old. There's no such thing as it's old when it's helping a great cause. So keep doing it. Keep bringing attention to this horrible, debilitating disease because there is no cure right now. And it's, I mean, it's horrific. So.
You know, it is. And it's so amazing to do things that help people out on the internet when they go viral. A few months ago, we had a show on Feed the Deed, and that was an initiative that was started by Josh Stern in Ottawa, Canada, where he did a good deed, videotaped it, and then nominated other people to do good deeds. That's turning negatives into positives, and that's what the show is all about. Gervie's Law is about turning negatives into positives, taking Murphy's Law and turning it upside down. Everything that can go wrong can also go right. And we're going to try and do that today. We have an incredible show for you today. We have Jennifer DeNicola on the show, and she is the president of Malibu Unites. Some of you may have seen Cindy Crawford in the news. She was on with Maria Shriver this week, and she talked about how she pulled her two teenagers out of Malibu High School because of the fear of dangerous PCB levels at the school. Jennifer DeNicola knows everything about the situation, and she is going to enlighten us. And then after that, we are so privileged today to have with us Tom Girardi, the Tom Girardi, one of the greatest trial attorneys in this country, and we are going to talk about potential lawsuits and what really goes on when there's chemical exposure and it impacts and affects the public.
You know, talking about people that help, Tom Girardi helps immensely. I cannot believe how many cases. He has one. I guess he's known as the king of the class action lawsuit, and this is no joke. This
right.
man is amazing.
And, you know, sometimes that's what we need as attorneys. As everyone knows who listens to the show, I, at the law firm of Rowan Gervey and Wynn, represent individuals in workers' compensation cases where people have been seriously injured on the job. But when you put all of the people together and we have a class action suit because so many people are wronged by either negligence, or it could be reckless behavior or intentional behavior, that's when we have to put a stop. We can't keep having victims of situations where people are being wronged, and it's always because of money. It's always because people are afraid to spend money to make situations safe. Carrie?
That is true.
I know it's true. I wouldn't have said it if it wasn't true.
I am really working actively on trying to get our videos up, Alan. I know we're in the middle of a radio show, but I really want to put our videos
up. Unfortunately, today we don't have one of our producers with us, Erica Morrison, who is having her wedding shower. And if she was here, she would have everything up in 30 seconds.
How dare she?
How dare she leave us for her
wedding shower? Oh, you know, I have to say something, too. Talking about help, I've had an extraordinary amount of help from people. And you can, I mean, just talk about the kindness of strangers. I put up a petition because people said the petition that I sent to Norway, signed by my dad's best friends and family.
That was the Dear Norway letter?
Yeah, that actually they're now reconsidering.
They better.
Yeah, burying my dad in Norway, because we wrote to them personally, wrote to the government, wrote to the funeral home, and then we had the petition.
Where is your dad's body right now?
He's in Oslo.
Oh, he's in Oslo?
Yeah, he's in Oslo.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. Place he's never been.
So, I hope it's warm there in the summertime.
I don't know if you want it to be warm right now.
Okay.
Considering. Yeah.
All right. Well, what's going on with this petition?
This petition, people said, I want to help. Please let me help. What can I do? What can I do? And so somebody on my Facebook said the best thing to do is go to Care2, and it's a petition place, put up a petition. I did. This morning I woke up, we almost have 5,000 signatures.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It is unbelievable.
And it's just through a petition website?
It's just a petition website. If you go to, you know, we'll put it up at Gervey's Law, too. But if you go to Carrie Kasem, K-E-R-R-I-K-A-S-E-M, on Facebook, you will see it right there. You can actually go to the actual site as well. It's called, well, no, I don't know how to get you there. It's the petition site, I guess, but I don't know how to get you to my dad's petition unless you go to Facebook or Twitter, find it. Now, you don't have to have a Facebook or Twitter to sign this.
Okay.
At all. So
all
it's
right.
been wonderful.
I mean, we need to get people to sign it, and hopefully the country of Norway together will have a meeting. They'll all come together and they say, let's send Casey Kasem's body back to L.A. where it belongs, mm-hmm. so he can have a proper burial as he wished.
He did wish this. And, you know, Mike Curb, former lieutenant governor of California and president of Curb Records, wrote a letter personally and said, Casey told me he wanted to be buried at Forest Lawn. Now, my dad's executive personal security called me yesterday and he goes, Carrie, I want to tell you, your dad and I talked, and we had hours and hours of talks overnights and when he'd stay there. Your dad always mentioned he wanted to be buried at Forest Lawn.
And you were up in Sacramento this week.
I was. I met with the governor's office for my bill. I call it the visitation bill.
So you met with the governor's office. What does that mean? You just go and have a meeting in the office? Was there anyone there?
Sutter Brown.
Okay, good.
Do you know who Sutter Brown is?
Yes.
Who?
He's the guy at the governor's office.
No, he's a dog. He's a little dog, and he's the cutest little dog ever.
Did you see the bear there?
Yeah, I did see the bear. I took pictures of the bear. In fact, if you go to my Facebook page, once again, there's pictures of me with the bear.
I have lobbied many times in Sacramento, so I've been in that building. I've seen the bear, and I've seen the lieutenants who stand outside of the governor's door.
That's right.
And we have lobbied for better treatment of injured workers in the workers' compensation system. And we hope that what you are doing is going to help people who are being blocked from seeing their ailing parent. And we're going to stay tuned and come back and find out more about that on another show. But now we are going to turn our attention to what a lot of people are talking about, and that's what's going on at Malibu High School and Juan Cabrillo School in Malibu, California. And we are privileged to have with us, after the break, Jennifer DeNicola, who is going to tell you things that will probably make your head spin. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. We will be right back.
When we ran out, we stopped using it.
Why would you stop?
Why undo all the good that's been accomplished? We thought everything was fine, and that was not a good thing.
No.
He started stinking. It was awful.
Shedding comes bad. Loss of hair, lots of dandruff.
Scratching will return. His shedding will increase.
If I ever took Roy off of Dinovite, he would go back to his hair loss.
DINOVITE.com.
859-428-1000.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dinovite.
When I get to about 3/4.
Oh, no. I've got a couple more scoops.
It's time to place my order.
Dinovite.com.
Each and every day, she is getting that Dinovite.
The omega-3 fatty acids.
Flaxseed, zinc, alfalfa.
The digestive enzymes that are cooked out of regular dog food.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite. If it's working, don't quit.
Don't do what I did and run out.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
DINOVITE.com.
I'm Mark Levin, constitutional lawyer, best-selling author, dog lover, and handsome as hell, saying what Southern California needs to hear. If talk radio were running this country, maybe we get something done. Did he say that? You bet I did. Record it. iPod it. Play it to all your neighbors. They'll agree with me. Somebody has to tell the truth about what's going on in America. And that's me, Mark Levin, evenings at 6, sandwiched between Larry Elder and Peter Tilden on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
On Talk Radio 790 KBC, I am still Alan Gervie, and Carrie Kasem is still here with me. Her hair is getting dry now after her ALS bucket challenge, ice bucket challenge.
Yes, and then something else happened that got me even more wet.
Well, we're going to look at that on Facebook, so visit Facebook, Gervie's Law, and you will see that. I don't think it's up right now, but we will get it up as soon as we can. We're going to turn our attention right now to something that's very important, and it's impacting a lot of people, not only in Malibu, California, but also around the country where these situations exist. And we have to thank an organization like Malibu Unites, which is really doing yeoman's duty to bring these issues out to the public. And we're fortunate right now to have with us the president of Malibu Unites, Jennifer DeNicola. Jennifer, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's great to see you, and I feel really honored to be here with Carrie Kasem and Jennifer DeNicola because I know they are both fighting the good fight. And Jennifer, why don't you tell us exactly what's going on now at Malibu High School?
Well, our school year started on Tuesday, and we are still having issues going with PCBs in our schools.
Right.
PCBs were found in our schools in 5 of our 10 buildings right now, and they're above legal thresholds of 50 parts per million. And according to the law, they have to be removed, and they haven't been removed yet. So there's many parents that are very worried about their kids.
And I believe it's a regulation, federal law, 40 CFR 761, that says that anything greater than 50 parts per million must be removed. And I've heard that there's some places 370,000 parts per minute. Is that true?
Yeah, there were some independent test results that came back, and there are two rooms that were tested. And one of them came back at 340,000 parts per million,
wow,
which is in the
wow
elementary school. And one is at 370,000 parts per million, which is in the high school.
We're going to talk a little bit about testing because a lot of people say, you know, what kind of testing are they doing? How can we prove how many parts per million? But the question that's on the table right now is why would anyone keep their kids in a school if this is true? And we are honored right now to have on the telephone with us Cindy Crawford.
Hi.
Hi, Cindy. How are you? I'm Alan Gervie. You're here with Carrie Kasem, and we're talking with Jennifer DeNicola.
Yes.
Now, we have heard this week that you pulled your two kids out of Malibu High because of exactly that, the fear of dangerous levels of PCBs.
Well,
I guess just to clarify, my kids are on independent study at Malibu High, so they're still considered students there, but they do their work at home.
Okay.
But I honestly, well, there's two reasons. Of course, as Jennifer said, we know that our school has toxins in it, and I still cannot come up with a satisfactory answer from the district as why they won't test the source, and that is the big problem. And I even said, look, if you don't want to pay for it, my husband and I will pay for it.
And when, Cindy, when you talk about the source, you're actually talking about the construction, the caulking. We're not talking about a wipe test or an air test. Is that correct?
Right. And right, because the district is saying, well, we've done our air testing and our wipe testing, and those give you information. They give you pieces to the puzzle, but they're not the whole story. And I think with Jennifer and Malibu Unites and myself, we're not really going to be satisfied until they do comprehensive testing of all of the caulking in the building.
Now, Cindy, why won't they let you pay for it?
That's an excellent question. Mm. And I really, no one's given me an answer. They haven't taken me up on it. They've told other people that that's not happening. And I'm actually looking to see if I have any legal rights to do that test. But, because I live in the school district, I pay
right.
my taxes.
Yeah. This is a public school, correct?
Yes.
This doesn't make any sense. Everybody's always asking for money, doing the fundraisers. We need money. We need our poor teachers, our poor kids. You're offering to pay for something and they just turn you down?
Right. So there's only really one thing that I can think is that they don't want to know the results.
And that may be true, and I want to ask Jennifer right now, is what would happen, and then Cindy can chime in at any time, if they determined after the testing that they were unsafe levels in violation of federal law and that they had to close the school down. What kind of money would they be looking at losing and obviously disrupting a whole school year?
Well, one thing that Malibu Unites has proposed to the district since last June is to get portable units to put them up on our fields, and we have plenty of room for it, for all the classrooms that are from 1950 to 1979, which are the only period of time that they're worried about PCBs being in our classrooms. So we can put the portable units up. Kids can stay on campus. They can continue to use the high school building that was built in the 2000s. And we can go ahead as business as usual, keeping our community together, which is all any of us want. You know, our kids love their school, and they love their teachers, and they want to be on campus, and they want to be all together. And because of this situation, everybody's been split apart. My children's best friends are going to one school. They're going to another. My seventh grader is being micro-schooled, we're calling it, very graciously at Pepperdine. And, we want all of our kids to be back together. So it'd be very easy to go ahead and put all these portable units up, test the school thoroughly. It's the testing plan that, you know, we have provided that Cindy has offered to pay for. The district can pay for it. It doesn't matter. But we need to understand the nature and extent of the PCB contamination in the building materials in order to protect our kids from exposure.
And, you know, Jennifer, when you talk about that, Cindy was quoted as saying that she doesn't want to look 10 years down the road and find out that her kid has a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Cindy, tell us about that, because I think that's an important issue that a lot of parents, just like you, are really thinking about, because this is about the kids.
Well, it's about the kids, and it's about the teachers and the faculty at the school. I mean, in some ways, it's more about the teachers because they have more exposure. I think what I've learned about PCBs is it's cumulative, right? So the longer, the more time you spend in that room, the more exposure you have. So a teacher who's been at Malibu High for 20 years and in the same classroom for 8 hours a day, that's a lot scarier.
You know, and I got to tell you, Cindy, I represent injured workers and workers' compensation. I'm a trial attorney who goes to trial on issues like these, and you wouldn't believe how when you file a workers' compensation claim, all of a sudden, they take notice, because in this situation, there's something called serious and willful petition, which is a labor code section in the California Labor Code 4553, and if they are aware of a problem and don't fix it, they have a personal lawsuit against them. And when you bring up the teacher, Cindy, you're talking about a lot of people who are exposed for long periods of time every day, and what I've heard, there's a lot of damage that has been done to the teachers.
Yes, the teachers definitely are scared. A lot of them, you know, they didn't have a choice. They have to go to work. They need their paycheck to pay off their mortgage and, you know, pay for their life. But a lot of teachers are you know, that I've spoken to and I know Jennifer's spoken to, you know, if they're stuck between a rock and a hard place. And so for me, it's like when you're pregnant. You don't drink, you don't have coffee, you don't smoke, you don't, you just don't do those things because God forbid your baby has a problem. You don't ever want to have to look back and think, oh, was it because that one night I took Advil? So you just don't do it. Probably a little Advil probably wouldn't hurt your baby, but you just don't want to put yourself in that position. And that's what I feel about Malibu High. Like last year, like most parents, when the problem was first made, you know, aware in the community, you think, okay, it's going to take a little time. They're going to approach this methodically, but in the end, they're going to do the right thing. And sadly, that is not what I have found to be the truth. And so, the, you know, as big a reason that I took my kids out was, you know, that I'm concerned about their exposure, but also I felt like how, you know, that I need to send a message. Like, as a parent, that's a way for my voice to be heard. If my kids aren't going to school there, they understand that I have a problem.
And, I, you know, I have to say, you talk about pregnancy, and we're talking with Cindy Crawford on the phone right now. I just want to let people know what PCPs do to pregnant women, or possibly can do. Neurological and motor control problems, lowered IQ, and poor short-term memory of the child. If a kid is exposed to this, whether it's skin, consumption, or in the air, you have you can experience irritation of the nose, lungs, skin irritations, severe acne, rashes, and eye problems. And that's just some of the things that can happen with these kids. But the long-term effects is what, you know, I'm scared of. And like the teachers, the kids are in and out.
Right.
The
teachers are there for a long time. That, and I could be wrong, but I heard that 12 out of 14 teachers have had some issues with thyroid condition. Is that true, Jennifer?
It is. We have had now, we have 3 cases of thyroid cancer on our campus of current teachers. We've got 13 cases of thyroid disease, which means underactive or overactive thyroid, Hashimoto's, goiters, or nodules. And then we have now found that we have some alumni that have graduated about 10 years out that have thyroid cancer. They're in their 20s.
Yeah.
Kids in their 20s or 20-year-olds don't get thyroid cancer normally.
It destroys your immune system, your thyroid, your hormones. I mean, this is not a good thing at all.
No.
So this isn't all speculation, because when we talk about the law as lawyers, a lot of people come to me and they say they have a case. They have a workers' compensation case, but we need evidence. There has to be damages. And if there are no damages, they probably don't have a case. But what Cindy and Jennifer are telling us is there have been damages. Now, Cindy, do you know approximately how many children have been taken out of school?
You know, it's hard, and as many press releases as the district is sending out, they're not sending out ones that tell that number.
I heard 60. Jennifer, anything?
You know, we
on
know
that?
Seventh graders right now. We know there are 27 seventh graders from just us talking to each other. For the seventh grade family, I have a seventh grade daughter. 27 have been pulled. That's 1/5 of the seventh grade class. So if that's just an example, and even if it's a little bit less, that's a significant amount of people that have left the school. I know a senior, a mom that pulled out of their senior. I mean, that's supposed to be the greatest year of their life.
Right. Yeah.
And going through all this with their friends, and like I said, this is a great place to be. And, I mean, for her to pull her senior out and say, you know what, it's not worth the risk, the cumulative risk. And we're talking, too, don't forget, this is from kindergarten to 12th grade. So there is long-term exposure for these kids as well, if it's in all of these rooms. And the only way we're going to know is to test the source, which is testing the caulking.
And so they're not allowing you.
They're not.
And they won't let us.
And the question is, Cindy, why the intransigence? Do we know why the Santa Monica Malibu Unified District, School District, will not wake up and say, we just have to test, we just have to find out, we have to allay the fears of people who have kids at the school?
Money, why the intransigence?
Well, and you know, as someone who isn't a lawyer and didn't even know what PCBs were until last year, you know, what to me is just, I guess, typical, you know, bureaucracy in a way. There is a law. There's federal law that says if it's over 50 parts per million, it has to be removed. It has to be removed in a safe way. You can't just, like, go in and chip the caulk away. But there is no law that requires the testing. So that's like saying to a criminal, well, you're only going to get in trouble if you turn yourself in. It's like, it's maddening as a parent, because you're like, we know, as Jennifer said, certain rooms have tested over. The district themselves tested, and they're admitting because they did test the caulk in 10 rooms, and they found it over.
Yeah.
But then they're not testing the room right next door that was built at the same time with the with the same building materials. That just doesn't...
It doesn't make sense at all. It doesn't pass the smell test,
but
so
they
to speak.
But they're following the letter of the law. And that's where it's frustrating.
That's why we need a change in the law. And after the news, we're going to bring on Tom Girardi, who is one of the top trial attorneys in the country. And we're going to talk about this. Cindy Crawford, we want to thank you so much for sharing your story. And we are working together with Jennifer here and everyone to get it out there so things will change.
Well, thank you for giving us a place to talk about it.
All right, thanks. You're listening to Gervie's Law. We will be right back after the news.
The Michael Brown shooting, some supporting him, others defending Darren Wilson, the white cop who shot the unarmed black 18-year-old. One marcher.
We share the united belief that Officer Wilson's actions on August 9th were warranted and justified, and he has our unwavering support.
No arrests after thousands marched on New York City's Staten Island in support of Eric Garner, an unarmed black man who died allegedly in a police chokehold. Ad saying, guns save lives, are appearing again at the Phoenix bus stops after being the subject of a four-year battle between city officials and a local activist for a gun safety training website. U.S. warplanes continue to pound ISIS terrorists in northern Iraq. Folks along the East Coast should watch the tropical depression that is expected to form Tropical Storm Cristobal later on this weekend. According to forecasters, it's right now near the Turks and Caicos Islands. I'm Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Great oil and filter specials at CarQuest Auto Parts. Get 5 quarts of Pennzoil conventional motor oil and a CarQuest red oil filter for just $22.99. Upgrade to Pennzoil high mileage oil and a CarQuest red filter for $25.99. Or 5 quarts of Pennzoil platinum full synthetic oil and a Bosch premium plus oil filter for $32.99. Now through August 30th at participating CarQuest Auto Parts locations.
Go in to CarQuest and roll on.
Get news, weather, sports, markets, and traffic first on the boards.
Let's drive.
Over here.
Radio 790-KABC.
Need some legal, moral, or just common sense advice from a friend? Call Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem now. At 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
We are back, and you're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC, and we are speaking about the PCB levels at Malibu High School and Juan Cabrillo School in Malibu, California. But let's make this clear. This situation is going on all around the country. We're talking about buildings that were built probably in the 70s, the 60s, the 50s, all the way up to the 90s, and what condition they are in and what kind of chemical exposure the teachers and the children are subject to. And right now we are so happy to be joined by one of the top attorneys in the country. That's right. We have Tom Girardi with us, and he has program right here on this station, Champions of Justice. And if you haven't heard Champions of Justice, you really have to hear it because they get into issues like no other radio show does. Tom, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hey, thank you very much. Really nice to be with you. And, you know, I figured that we don't need a lawyer anymore. We have Jen. I know she does a better job. And Cindy,
yeah.
they do a better job than any lawyer out there, it seems to me. And
you know, the irony is...
They told the story, man. I'm not kidding you.
Tom is telling us this, and this is a guy who has had millions and millions and millions of dollars of recovery.
Hundreds of millions.
Yeah, and we're talking about the Vioxx litigation. And he's telling us that Cindy Crawford, who was just on the phone with us, and Jennifer DeNicola, who's here with us and is president of Malibu Unites, have done a great job of figuring out what's going on and trying to make changes. Now, I want to talk to you about historically the Aaron Brockovich case, Tom.
Sure.
Tell us a little bit about how that all went down and how they were able to finally get the verdict they needed to.
You know what? This is very similar to the Aaron Brockovich case because initially there was the claim that chromium didn't cause any problem. Certainly drinking chromium didn't cause the problem, and that's what those people were doing, and they were coming down with cancer and so forth. And the fact of the matter is that case brought it all to light. A matter of fact, we did our own animal studies with water with chromium in it,
right,
and saw the tumors that started to go into the rats and so forth that we were testing. And that was the basis upon which chromium was then declared to be a real problem with respect to drinking.
Well, what about a latency period, though? Because that's what always concerns me about chemical exposure cases. How do we know when the manifestation of these kind of diseases will come about?
You know, great question. And you don't know. This isn't like getting hit by a car where your ankle is hurt the next second and you know what it is.
Exactly.
This happens down the road. And when you have a situation like this with these PCBs, you know, this isn't rocket science. This stuff was thrown out in 1979. You said you can't use it anymore. Now, the stuff was already there, and the reason you couldn't use it is because it causes cancer, causes thyroid problems, etc. You know what? Let's suppose that you're running a school district or a company or something like that, and you know you're subjecting the people in your law firm
right
to an unreasonable risk. Holy Toledo, wouldn't you do something about it?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, and what's going on with that and why? If they knew about it, why are they still in the school? Do they not have the same offices? Do they not have the same building?
Maybe Jennifer can answer that.
I'm trying to figure this out. Why would you expose yourself to it as well?
Exactly. You know what? We've actually said that. We've said, you know, we'll switch buildings with you. And that doesn't mean that their district building doesn't also have issues going on. But we know we have issues in our school. We know there's a problem. So why wouldn't you fix it? Why wouldn't you let every parent know? We believe that every parent has a right to know what their kids are being exposed to. And the only way to find out is to test.
Now, Tom, being objective, taking it from a legal perspective, as us lawyers need to do, we need to see both sides of the position. Aren't defendants, and I'm going to call them a defendant because there's a litigation that's out there now, aren't they concerned about the costs? If Jennifer and Malibu Unites and Cindy Crawford is correct, aren't they at all concerned about the damages?
Well, I think they are, but it seems to me they're going to be a lot more concerned if they don't do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's try and solve the problem. This is an open and shut. Nobody is saying that everybody who walks into that school for 10 minutes is going to come down with some terrible problem.
Right.
Let's just suppose, though, that we know that certain people are going to be affected, and we don't do anything about it. You know, the idea here of not testing, and, you know, we can't have them doing the testing. This has to be legitimate testing. There are a million ways to test, believe
sure.
me. But we have to have legitimate testing to see exactly what's going on there. Then we got to take every precaution we can to get rid of the stuff. That's all there is to it. And how in the world can anybody let a young child be subjected to something like that? It's beyond belief.
The question I have for both of you right now is, this school has been in operation for many years. Many students have come through the system. In the Pacific Gas and Electric case with Aaron Brockovich, and there were cases afterwards, we saw over time a number of victims as time passed. Are we seeing that now with the students who have been in the school? Because you may have someone playing devil's advocate listening to us right now and say, hey, wait a second, why is this coming up now? Have there been thyroid conditions diagnosed over the last 15 years? Because we understand that the PCB levels were probably way too high in violation of the law over time in the past.
I don't think you'd ever think about it, though. You wouldn't say, gee whiz, I wonder if I got this because I was at Malibu. You know, you had no clue about that. The doctor's just telling you, you got this medical problem now, and this is what we should do something about it. In other words, it's not like being in a car wreck.
Yeah.
You know, this is something that's down the stream, and that's
what it
affects.
You know, it's interesting, Tom. That is an excellent point, because that's what I deal with every day of my life as a trial attorney in workers' compensation. We have people that come in with catastrophic conditions who have worked at an employer for 35 years and never put two and two together why they have a certain condition. I had someone who worked with nail polish remover for 30 years in a factory, and she developed a cancer. She never put two and two together.
You know what? All these drug cases, Vioxx is a good example, caused heart attack and stroke. There was no mention it could cause heart attack and stroke. Well, if you have a heart attack, you don't go to the doctor and say, gee, I think the Vioxx did it.
Right.
Avendia was for diabetics, causes heart attack and stroke. You don't go to the doctor and say, gee, you know, I think this diabetic medicine Avendia caused it. In other words, the cause and effect of toxic exposure is much more complicated, and the average person never puts it together.
Right. And it's so important, too. I know I just did a cleanse. I did a gnarly, gnarly cleanse that cleans all your fat out of your system completely.
Oh, I want to do that.
Let me tell you, everybody needs to do it. I did it 8 years ago, and my asthma, she's gorgeous. Oh, my God. She's so beautiful. I did this cleanse 8 years ago. My asthma and my allergies went away. They came back a couple years ago. I just finished it again. I'm clear-headed. There's so many toxins in our environment now. I don't smoke. I barely drink. I was still flooded with toxins. I have a high ANA count. That means there's something wrong with my immune system.
Right.
I do this. I haven't tested positive for anything yet. So if those kids are already living with environmental toxins and now they're going to a school with more, our bodies can't handle it. We're seeing so many immune disorders, autoimmune disorders.
They are.
They're killing us.
And, you know, I have a question for both of you because I think you have a different perspective in it. Let's look at the stress involved, because what we're talking about right now, if people are listening, they're going to say, oh, my goodness, do I have to take my kids out of the school? What's going on? I don't want my kids to be damaged. I don't want the teachers. If teachers are teaching at the schools, Tom, let me ask you first, from the professional lawyer perspective, not emotional, how do we reassure people, if we can, that they should continue to go to school and they should continue to teach our students?
You know what? Great question, but I think you've answered it. What if this is your school and my school, and we think there's a problem? What's the first thing we do? Hey, man, we better find out how big of a problem this is. Let's suppose we do the testing and everything's okay. We got to take precautions. We have to do this, that. But things are all right. Then we can sleep at night.
Right.
How about this? We know there's a problem there. And then, I mean, I couldn't believe what Cindy was saying, that they refused to even take her money to test.
Absolutely.
What's the downside in that, Jennifer?
There is no downside at this point other than finding out the truth and knowing what's going on. But, you know, Cindy made a really great point at our rally. She said, you know, if I walked into my kitchen in the morning, I love this analogy, you know, just hits everybody. And there's a puddle of water. I'm not just going to wipe it up and not look for the source.
Right.
You know, because guess what happens tomorrow morning? You got another puddle.
Right.
So you got to go look for the source. We know that PCBs are a source. We know it's in our caulking, in our window and door frames. It may be in other building materials. But the only way to find out is to fully investigate. And that's what any normal person would do at that point is investigate.
And you're not buying the wipe test or the air test or anything like that at this point, are you?
No. Air testing and wipe testing, while it's, you know, part of a solution,
right,
it doesn't tell you to investigate what's going on. And so it tells you what's happening right here, right now. Not tomorrow, not a month from now, not 5 months from now.
And so also, they look guilty when they don't. If they didn't know about it, they would have said, yes, of course, bring them in. Let's test this.
Yeah.
When
well,
they say no, it's almost like, oh, you knew about this, didn't
you?
You
know, Jennifer, this show is all about taking negatives and turning them into positives. If you had your one wish right now, what would it be to turn this negative situation that you are doing a heck of a job fighting for and turning it into a positive?
Well, the first thing is, you know, obviously we have to do two things. One, we've got to solve what's going on in Malibu, and we also have to make sure that kids across the country do not have the same situation that's going on in Malibu. We are an example of a problem that has been going on in New York and in Boston, in Connecticut, and it's time to connect, you know, the dots between us. Any school built between 1950 and 1979 could have PCBs in it. It doesn't mean it does.
Right.
But the only way to know is to test. And we believe that every parent has a right to know, every teacher has a right to know, what are they being exposed to. So I think that every school across the country should have to test for PCBs.
A great message.
Find out what's going on in their school, and then teachers and parents can decide what is acceptable for their child. Will they send them to school? Maybe. Will they not? That's up to them. That's not a school district's decision.
Tom, how do you take over? That's a great answer. Now, you're the lawyer. What happens if none of that happens?
Jennifer just joined the law firm, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, that was... Oh, great, I got a job. I don't have any more time for jobs. I'm sorry. I'm really busy on this one.
You know what? The case, of course, is let's do the other side. We don't want to necessarily scare people if they shouldn't be scared. You know, that's the other thing, too. In other words,
right.
You talked before about balance and straight down the center of the fairway and so forth. So let's suppose that it really isn't a problem. Now, I'm pretty sure it is, but let's just suppose that. Then let's suppose we do valid testing. You see, if we go do testing, you know, down a hall someplace where the kids aren't even there, oh, hey, it looks good. No, I want to do the testing right by the grouting, right by the stuff that was banned in 1979. That's where I want to do the testing so I can really understand what the problem is. So we have to do some honest testing.
Yeah.
Now then, if we get some bad results back, let's take these young kids up the hill and temporary facilities and clean it up and do the right thing.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, the one thing you can't do is to do nothing.
And that's a great message. We're all in agreement there. First of all, Jennifer DeNicola, I want to thank you for coming to Gervie's Law. You've really opened up a lot of eyes, and having Cindy Crawford on, it just makes us all understand the reality of what's going on for all of our children and our teachers, and we wish you all the luck. We're happy to have you on again as we progress, and hopefully we'll fix this situation. Tom, can you stay with us for another segment?
Of course.
Okay, great. You're listening
to
Gervie's Law. We will be right back.
Any person who makes or causes to be made any knowingly false or fraudulent material statement or material representation for the purposes of obtaining workers' compensation benefits is guilty of a felony.
Another day at work. The pain is getting worse, and I'm afraid to say anything because I need this job, and I don't want to get fired. If I wasn't the only one supporting the family, I'd quit.
Is this you? Are you suffering every day while your injuries get worse, and there seems to be nowhere to turn? Or do you have an injury that was brought on gradually by repetitive motion, and now you can't perform your job duties at all? For over 35 years, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn has represented those who have sustained an injury on the job or have become disabled as a result of work. They're the experts in workers' compensation. You need an advocate. You need someone who cares about the injured worker. You need the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn to get you through the nightmare. Friends, if you're suffering with a cumulative work injury, the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn is in business to help you. Find out more. Call the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, 855-4-RGW-LAW. That's 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com. First consultations are free.
Are you an avid Eldorado?
I love Larry Elder.
Do you like free stuff?
Who doesn't?
Do you have any plans this Friday?
Listen
to Larry Elder Friday afternoons for the Eagle Ear Eldorado Exam. Identify the 5 sound bites from the week, and you can be on your way to one of SoCal's hottest concerts.
Awesome idea for a contest? Check.
The Eagle Ear Eldorado Exam. Only here. Talk Radio 790 KABC. The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
That is right. You are listening to the new home of the LA Kings right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC. I can hardly wait for the hockey season to start, because we really are excited to have the Kings right here on KBC, being a big hockey fan. Yes,
you're,
Perry?
You're more excited than the usual person.
I am.
Yeah.
I love hockey.
I know you
and
do.
It's so great that they're right here on KBC, LA Kings, Stanley Cup champions.
And they have that blow-up Stanley Cup in the front.
I love it.
That, but it keeps deflating. It's really embarrassing. You walk in, it's like the half-deflated cup.
I have to tell you, a few weeks ago, it was half deflated, and I'm not sure that anyone really realized it, because I look at the Stanley Cup, and I just start drooling, and I went, and I know that Luke Robitaille from the Kings was coming in, and I said, you better inflate that cup.
And it was.
And then they inflated it, so at least it looked good when the Kings people came in. We're here with Tom Girardi, and of course, Tom is with Girardi Keith, one of the top law firms in the country, and Tom Girardi, the leader, the fearless leader of Girardi and Keith.
The king of the class action lawsuit.
Yeah.
And you have to say that. You really do, because it's really true.
You're too nice.
And we were talking about chemical exposure. We were talking about the Malibu High School situation. We had Jennifer DeNicola on, as well as Cindy Crawford called in to talk about that. And Tom, you brought up during the break the Shell plant in Carson. Tell us what's going on there.
You know, you talk about a real mess. First of all, I want to pause. You know, you two do an awful lot of good, you know, without a doubt.
Thank you.
Some good takes place in a courtroom. Other good takes place for public opinion. And to honestly bring these issues out there, you two really do an awful lot.
We appreciate that.
I wanted to say that.
That's huge coming from you. That's huge. So thank you.
So the Shell company had a plant, a bunch of tank farms, and they didn't need them anymore. They were unlined tanks, so they tore the tank farms down. It was real nice land, so they sold it to Murdoch, Dole Pineapple, and they built a bunch of houses.
Yeah.
The only little tiny problem was that the benzene levels and so forth reached 100,000 times what they should be, and now these young people are moving into these houses, almost 1,000 houses, and the places, of course, are just ruined. Then Shell recently, so they're both in the lawsuit,
yeah.
Dole and Shell. Shell recently filed a lawsuit against the developer and said, we told you guys this place was contaminated. We told you it was a mess. We told you you had to clean it up or, you know, we'd be in this lawsuit. Now you got to make sure you take care of us because of this lawsuit.
Wait a second here. Is that kind of like buying as is? Sometimes I go into Best Buy and I see some stereo equipment or some, you know, technology and it says as is. Do you believe in the contract where they sold the land to the developer that they're was you buy as is and a hold harmless against the people who were selling it to them?
No. This was Shell saying, we told you. We told you about the problem when you said you would have to
clean it
up, developer.
Okay, hold on. Brakes right now. They knew about it. The developers knew about this. They put the workers on that land to build the houses, first of all, and then they put families in those houses, and they knew about it.
But Tom,
absolutely,
what does the discovery show? Does it show that is the case,
knowledge? It shows that was the case, without a doubt.
So why did the developer buy it, given that, if that is true? Because again, as a lawyer, I don't give in to anything. Every time I think I know something, evidence comes in to show me something else.
Well, first of all, if you're going to go buy a tank farm, you would just think that maybe there could be some contaminants here.
Good point.
You know, this wasn't buying La Cienega Boulevard here.
No.
You know, this is buying a tank farm. So, and then the disclosures, Murdoch knew, but he got it cheap, bought the land very cheap, and then built these houses. And now these people are stuck over there. Obviously, they can't sell their houses because now there'd have to be disclosure. Who would ever buy it? You know, so it's
there been any tangible damages?
Oh, sure. We have a lot of people. We have a lot of people hurt.
Oh, we do.
We have a lot of cancer cases over the top and so forth.
Wow.
Now, would Murdoch himself be responsible if this class action lawsuit, if you get everybody together, who pays for these homes? Who pays for the sicknesses?
Well, we think it's some joint liability. Shell contaminated it to start with, and Murdoch built on it, knowing about the contamination. So we think they're all in the boat. And I think they're behaving like they're all in the boat.
Hmm.
Wow. You know, I've been to Murdoch's house up in Hidden Hills.
You
it's got
have.
This gorgeous
Excuse
Arabian
me.
Farm. It's in the cleanest part of Los Angeles.
There's no contamination.
No contamination there. So it's really, it's pathetic. I'm sorry. This guy wouldn't move into that housing development. And I'd say move him in there.
Tom, are you representing these people? Is it class action?
We have all of them. There are individual cases all joined together.
Oh,
so.
Very good.
And I won't be going to Rupert Murdoch's house again after that statement.
Okay. Well,
just so you know.
We want to hear how that litigation proceeds, because I know it's in the preliminary stages, and it sounds like there's a lot of evidence that is going to really stick it to the defendants. But I want to talk a little bit now about a case that you just... I'm going to say completed, but I don't know if it's complete. We're going to talk about the Brian Stowe case now. And, of course, for those of you who don't know, Brian Stowe was the San Francisco Giant fan who came to opening day to Dodger Stadium a couple years back and was beaten after the game and suffered serious traumatic brain injury. He's in a wheelchair. And just, approximately a month ago, you got the verdict of an $18 million recovery. Tell us, is that money that the jury came back with enough to help Mr. Stowe through the rest of his life?
Well, like you, being a lawyer, you never look at anything that it's enough. But in all honesty, it's a perfect verdict. You know, there were issues in the case. There were two people convicted of felonies who did the beating, not the Dodgers.
Right.
So then the issue was, okay, Dodgers, are you responsible for this? And indeed, when we talk, I got to pause just for a minute. We're not talking about the current Dodgers.
Right.
We're talking about the McCourt Dodgers. Right. Because the current Dodgers have corrected an awful lot of the problems that took place. And, you know, like you, we've all lost a case now and then. Unfortunately,
I haven't, but go
fortunately,
ahead.
Fortunately, you haven't. But the last case in the world I would want to lose was this case. This family were the nicest people. This Brian, who's so badly hurt, and his mom and dad who take care of him, ever since this happened, March 31st, 2011, they've been taking him to the bathroom at night, rolling him over at night, and now we're going to get some money to get some care to lessen the burden on them.
Can you explain for our listeners the difference between liability and damages? Because you touched on it, and the fact of the matter is his needs over his lifetime may be greater than $18 million, or the $14 million outside of the pain and suffering for the cost. But we have to talk about liability, because maybe it was the two people who beat him. We have a lot of listeners here, and they may be real skeptical about Dodgers paying for that.
You know, that's a real good point. And if it were just something that happened in a parking lot and everybody was doing the proper security and everything else, then we wouldn't have gotten anything. But here we prove that McCourt had really harmed things with respect to security. There were supposed to be two guys in that lot. They weren't there. There were five assaults that took place in that lot before Brian got hurt. You would think that if this was just a thing where you and I are walking to the parking lot and some crazy guy hits one of us, that's one thing. But here, when you have five assaults taking place, the people who are supposed to be there aren't there. And it's all because of cost.
Yeah. And I just want to know about Brian. My heart went out to him and his family in this disgusting travesty that happened to him. What is going on? Will he get any better than he is now?
You know, he's making some progress.
Okay.
Now, he has a long way to go. Last week, the Giants invited him to the dugout.
Aww.
How about that?
That's nice.
And is he, I haven't seen him on TV or anything. Is he aware? Is he enough? Can he talk? Can he respond?
Yes.
Where is he?
He responds and so forth. Not like you and I do.
Sure.
But he definitely responds. You know what they did for opening day? They called me, the Giants called me, and they said, we want him to throw out the opening ball. And I said, well, gosh, you know, there's no way he can throw out the opening ball. And so they had him in his little place with a mitt and a ball. And then they went to the screen, and his son went out and threw the first
ball.
What a great way to end our show.
That is a positive that we want to think of. Tom Girardi, want to thank you so much. You've really helped enlighten us on all of these issues. I want to thank my other guests, Cindy Crawford and Jennifer DeNicola. It's been really something today hearing about these legal issues, and I wish we had more time. We're going to have to pick up on it next time. Carrie, thank you for being here as usual. I want to thank Debbie Payne and Dino, Juan, everyone for putting together a meaningful show, and I really appreciate what Tom said about what we're doing. We're helping people, and that's
the main
thing.
And thank you, Erica, too, even though she's
Erica's
at the wedding shower. Come on.
Tom, thanks again.
Hey, thank you very, very much.
And thanks for listening to Gervie's Law. We'll see you next time.